This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Sirkin.
I was just looking. In fact, I had a tweet to read out. Now I've done something else because I'm a Gemini and I never just stay on one thing, do I?
Two-faced.
Well, and that. But it's Mary. Mary Enyolu.
All right, yeah.
And she says, hello, good morning. This was this morning. Jules Sirkin, and remembering you at the end, Vanilla Web. She would appreciate a shout out about an event that she's doing, which is manana. And you can find details at candoacademy.net. That's candoacademy.net on the events page. And she says, thanks and have a good, great show. It's the 1st of September, manana, and it's building a high performance culture. And details, as she said, it's at 1 o'clock BST, but details are on their website.
Fantastic. I did mention this last week, but I thought I'd give it another mention. There's bandstand concerts in Brenchley Gardens, Maidstone. Maidstone Brenchley Gardens is set to host a series of events this summer for everyone to enjoy free of charge. The concerts have been organised by the Maidstone Area Arts Partnership and Make Some Noise Studio with funding from Maidstone Council. And they'll be held on the Victorian bandstand in the garden set in the heart of the town. And they're all on a Sunday afternoon and they will feature big bands, jazz and brass. Sunday the 5th of September, the John Hamilton Big Band. Sunday the 11th of September, Up C, Down C, Spinner and Gypsy Kaz. Sunday the 12th of September, the Invicta Jazz Orchestra. And then Saturday the 18th of September, Stacey and the Freeloaders, Best Intentions, The Dredgerman and Mikey Price and John Fuller. And then we finish up on Sunday the 26th of September with the BAE Systems Brass Band. Oh, that's all in Brenchley Gardens on the bandstand in the centre of Maidstone.
Smashing.
You can do one more thing and then I'm going to talk to our fantastic guest.
Well, my one more thing, let's have a look. So awards celebrate hard work, success, and they're also great PR for your organisation. If you're a winning business, enter for free the Maidstone, Canterbury or Ashford Business Awards 2021. You can find them on www.businessawardskent.co.uk.
Fantastic. Shall we introduce our guest?
Yes, do that.
He's been sitting patiently in this studio listening to the nonsense that we come out with for over an hour.
Wondering what the cheesy tunage ever was.
Shaking his head and thinking, what on earth have I let myself in for here?
He was chortling at one stage. I saw him chortling.
Were you tickling him?
I don't know whether it was hysteria or, humour.
Fear. Anyway, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Mr. Andy Stewart of the Rye Arts Festival. Andy, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. And I've thoroughly enjoyed my hour so far.
Good. Yeah.
It can get worse.
Yeah. It could go downhill from here. No. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling us a bit about Andy? Give us a little bit of background about you, and then we'll talk about the Rye Arts Festival.
Me? Well, I'm a former journalist, live in Rye, used to live in London, and I like the arts.
Right, okay. You were a journalist. Who did you write for?
Your Mortgage magazine. I wrote about mortgages my whole career.
Wow, so we had a conversation about banking, which is why you were well onto that. Okay.
Yeah, I thought you were. I sort of drifted off in that conversation.
You went asleep, didn't you?
Yeah,
so I knew he was talking sense because he fell asleep. Yeah.
Well, I was once welcomed onto Working Lunch by Adrian Childs, and he said, and now we've got a man coming up who knows so much about mortgages, his head is about to explode. I had no answer to that.
There's an intro.
Okay.
Stop drinking and ask him something.
Sorry. I'll tell you what I've got here.
I did offer you ginger root.
No, I've got root beer.
Oh, lovely.
I've got diet root beer, which I bought for myself to celebrate my birthday because it's my favourite drink.
Well, that's lovely. Enjoy your root beer.
And that's my last can of it, so I thought I'd bring it with me.
Root beer.
Yeah. So, Andy, tell us a bit about the Riot Arts Festival. And I want to know from two points of view. Obviously, it's going to be happening soon, and it didn't happen last year like so many events. Last year, did you have anything at all? Did you do anything virtually, or you just said, you know, this isn't worth it?
Absolutely nothing. We cut it early and decided that everything was going to be too difficult. And, so completely closed it down for the year.
Yeah, like so many other things, absolutely. I want to talk about what it involves and how it goes and what happens and when it is and all that interesting stuff. But I'd also like to know some of the history. How long has it been going? When was it started and by whom and why?
Well, yeah, it started. This year is the golden anniversary, 50 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
So it started in 1971 and it was a brief, I think it was just a weekend event.
Right.
Some people decided they'd put on a couple of organ concerts in the church and not much more than that. And then it's grown and grown and grown over the years, so that now it's a fortnight, 15 days of. It's 16 days this year.
Right.
So it's been run by volunteers. It's a charity. Just about almost every other, Rye's a very small town. Just about everyone you meet in Rye actually, at some stage in their time there, were involved in it. Certainly the older people. There's a whole succession of people who've been on the committee, organising committee. So it's a community. Things put forward by volunteers.
Right. For those that don't know, and if you don't know, it's highly remiss of you, Rye is a lovely town, a very ancient town. It's a sink port.
It is, yes.
In East Sussex, close to the Kent border, and kind of not on the sea anymore, although once upon a time it was.
Well, yeah, it's got a couple of miles away, and it still has one of the southeast's biggest fishing fleets are actually moored in Rye. So it's a couple of miles out to sea, so 20-minute, 30-minute drive in the boat to get out to sea.
I know it's not what we're talking about, but that I love Rye as a town, and that whole area fascinates me because, of course, we talk about climate change nowadays and sea levels and all the rest of it. Of course, where we live, down in this corner of the southeast of England, we probably have got more experience, well, not directly because it happened a few hundred years ago, but I live in Tenterton, which is also a sink port, and we're 10 miles from the nearest water. But once upon a time, we had a shipyard.
Yeah, you can probably just about remember it.
I can, when I was growing up, I live on the Isle of Oxney, which, of course, is not an island anymore at all, but once upon a time it was.
Well, it could be again soon.
It could be again soon, absolutely. And also, we have the Winchelsea, not far from you, which the old Winchelsea is out in the sea somewhere, isn't it?
It's somewhere off Canberra. No one really knows. It got swept away in a storm, but somewhere out there.
Yeah, absolutely. But Rye is a beautiful town. It's a very ancient town, very old, and lovely cobbled streets and all of that kind of thing. And
well, what's the commute from London to from Rye?
Well,
or is there one?
Well, train to Ashford. There's no direct, so train to Ashford, now the fast service in. I think you can get into King's Cross in probably about an hour and a half.
Okay.
I tend to go up the slow route, which is to Ashford and up to Charing Cross, and you can be in door-to-door in 2 hours.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But whether the fast route comes through HS2, it's a lot of people are hoping for it, but it may not happen for a long time.
Yeah.
Don't get us started on transport.
HS1, for instance, has done enormous benefit for Canterbury and East Kent by extending it around there. But in saying that, it all depends what you classify as a benefit, really.
Yeah.
Because house prices have shot up because everybody's moved out of London and moved to within, because from Canterbury now you can do London in 35 minutes. And so all of a sudden people have moved to Thanet and Ramsgate and all those kind of places. So it's a bit bittersweet. You know, it's like if you already live there, it's brilliant. if you want to move there, it's not quite so good because the prices of houses shoot up and we're back to mortgages again before we know it.
Yeah.
And it freezes out the young people. The prices go up. They're great if you've got a house and you may be able to benefit from it, I suppose. But for youngsters today, the idea of getting on the mortgage ladder and getting a house is so hard. And that is the flip side of it. Yep, the downside, prices go up, they're frozen out of the market and they have to move somewhere else.
Yep. So finishing off on my little monologue about Rye. You've got famous places like the Mermaid in Rye.
Have they got sand for glass vials?
No, there's no sand at all.
So it's all cobbles and pebbles. Yeah.
Well, Canberra's pretty close.
Canberra sounds pretty close. And they got more sand than you can
check to stick
out.
Let's investigate the sand there.
Yeah.
It's a great place to gallop a horse, Canberra Sands, because it's a beautiful wide beach, isn't it? Lovely.
Yes. Bizarrely, my partner and my daughter are currently heading to Canberra Sands.
To gallop
They're not taking the horses. I don't think they're taking horses, but they decided to take to the dog, there. I think, and go and have a wander at Canberra.
I bet it's windy.
Okay, so the Rye Arts Festival. Let's start exploring that. What are the kind of things that you have? What are the kind of events that you have, and where do they take place around the town?
Well, there's a broad selection. It's like multi-art. So there's music, classical music, but also folk, blues, jazz as well. There are talks and books and talks. These are kind of literary events, maybe about novelists, but also people who've written books about history, bit nature, this kind of thing. Drama, that's thrown in as well. Films, and there are walks as well, in a, not just in Rye, but in the Nature Reserve down there. So it's cross-board. There's a huge variety. And we use a number of venues in town. The cinema, Kino Cinema, we use there for the films. But the church itself, St Mary's, a lot of classical events have been on there. We're putting on literary, big literary events in there because it's the biggest venue.
Because they have great acoustics often, a church, don't they, as well, things?
They do. About 8 years ago, we had a Polish quartet from Warsaw came and played there. And at the end of it, they said, "The sound of your church is so good, we'd like to take it back brick by brick to Warsaw. It's the best we've ever heard."
Wow.
Nice, but no, you're not having it.
See, they could make some glass, couldn't they, Warsaw?
Well, they could have swapped it, couldn't they? Could have swapped Rye Church. Was it St Mary's?
St Mary's,
yeah. They could have swapped St Mary's for some silica sand.
Exactly. And I hear, or I see, that you've got a spooky Rye ghost walk with Paul Goring.
Yes, that's our town crier, who also does walks. He does historical ones, but he does nighttime walks as well, taking you around
the most haunted towns in England.
Yes, and the Mermaid, I think, is one of the most haunted pubs. You often see TV crews down there filming and trying to do it, but I've never seen a ghost down there, but I used to say they might be there.
My daughter once, she's seen about four ghosts, but she's in our house. It was an old Victorian house. She, when she was about 10, she said there was a Victorian boy standing all night in the corner of the room, and she described his, you know, bloomers and everything. She's seen loads of ghosts. Very spooky.
I'm saying nothing.
And you've got some rather highbrow things. You've got, well, as you said, the Shirley Smart Jazz Trio. Are they regulars or are they new?
This is new, first time we've had her. And we try and get on. Most of them are new. There are one or two regulars who come back. So, example, headlining one of them is Giles Brandreth, who I think is probably his third trip down here.
Oh, well, Giles has been a guest on this show. And what a fantastic bloke he is. He's so interesting and so knowledgeable about so many things. And he's a lovely man.
He's so funny as well, yes. He has a fascinating history. He was Lord Longford, appointed him to his pornography commission as a youngster. He went and selected two youngsters to be the voice of the youth, Cliff Richard and Giles Brandreth.
Really?
And Cliff turned down the offer of
going to
Copenhagen to have a look at all the clubs there. Giles went with him. Right. Very funny stories he has about that.
I can imagine. Well, that's a fireside chat, if ever there was one. And what's this Night Terrors, Tales of the Supernatural, from E.F. Benson's collection of ghost stories?
Well, Rye's a very literary town, and at Lamb House, Henry James, the American author, lived there for about 20, 30 years. He's called the Master. When he went, Benson took over, E.F. Benson, Fred, and lived there for 20, 30 years. And he wrote Map and Lucia, all the Map and Lucia books, which are sort of funny and humorous. But he also wrote a whole load of ghost stories. And we have here as an actor, Gerard Logan, who is brilliant at telling them. They're very spine-tingling and well worth seeing. And that will then be followed by the walk. So if you haven't had enough of ghosts on that day, you can see a bit more around the streets of town.
Fantastic. So you've got music, you've got workshops on literary subjects, you've got lots of ghosty, ghouly stuff going on. You mentioned drama earlier, but I wasn't sure whether that was talking about drama workshops or whether there are actually small plays or anything like that.
Yeah, there are. There's talking about it, but there's a local troupe have They've rewritten three of Chaucer's tales, and rather than the Canterbury tales, the Canterbury tales, R-Y-E. And so they're doing two lots of performances. They are very good, and they're very, very funny, very right. entertaining. But that's the main drama.
Fantastic, yeah, that's good. Most of the venues are obviously in the places that you've mentioned. Are there any outside venues? Because I suppose the weather's starting to get inclement.
Well, we might get an Indian summer, mightn't we? That's what I'm hoping.
Oh, we're going to have a heat wave at Christmas. There's no doubt about that.
yeah, we can have September often is absolutely beautiful.
When the kids go back, it's always nice after, isn't it?
Yeah. But it also can be bitterly, bitterly cold. So, no, other than the walks, they're all indoors. We did have in a marquee a couple of years ago, but they are all indoors. We'll be socially distance as much as we can. We'll reduce the capacities of everywhere. But that's part of the thing that the festival brings to the town, is it does bring an economic benefit. And one of the things is that we do hire a lot of venues, be it the church, the Methodist church, the Creative Centre, the Community Centre. All these places will benefit from us putting events on with the money coming in.
Yeah, and of course you bring people into the town that want to visit. And the Rye Arts Festival does take place over a long period of time. Was it 10 days?
Well, it's 16. So it's
16, it's growing.
10th to 26th.
Right, okay.
Of September, so, yeah.
Yeah. So it's the 10th to the 26th. Does one need tickets for these events?
All of these are tickets. And you can get them via the website, or the box office opens physical one on Wednesday, or you can phone up the box office and get all over. There'll be some on the door for some events.
We'll get all those details before you go off air, where people can book their tickets and stuff like that. So 50 years of the Rye Arts Festival. We missed out last year, so we've come back with a bang this year. 16 days of celebrating the arts, which is fantastic. Have you any feel, Andy, for the number of visitors that you normally attract into this event?
Well, it does. There are a lot of people. There are more events put on than the people of Rye, so they do come from far and wide. There are people who come from America who are regular. I've just seen this morning some guy who has come back from America specifically for it. So, so that's exciting. But it's bringing people in from London, the South East. I know another couple come over here from Somerset. So it's all over the shop. So it's both catering to the local market, but as you say, you're bringing people in.
Right.
We've had to think long and hard about it, about what level to put on, and we decided, because it has to be planned well in advance.
Yeah.
And we kind of made the decision that if we're going to go for it, it's the 50th, let's do it big, as people would expect and as it was last. There will be some people who still quite rightly and reasonably are slightly resistant about things and waiting whether to buy tickets and decide to go out. But, I think hopefully people will... who are vacillating, changing, thinking about it, they will come out and on the ice and buy tickets a couple of...
And of course, an event like this also helps the local economy in terms of food and drink and hotel rooms and all that kind of things as people visit and stay in the town. So it is economically a big boost. It must cost quite a bit to stage an event like that. So how do you fund it? Are you sponsored?
It does cost a lot to put on, and we fund it partly. We have members. It's a charitable organisation with members, so the subscription fee comes at the beginning of the year, which is brilliant. We know there's some money coming in.
Are these all local Rye people?
A chunk of them are. The wider area, right out to Wayne to Kent. So it's a broad area. A large chunk of them are. I mean, I'm actually surprised how few actually live in the centre of Rye, really. Mm. But it's a wide area. We also rely on some of these individuals with private sponsorship. They're really generous. And businesses too, smaller businesses, put a chunk in the lock. And this year, for the first time, we've got a headline sponsor, which is great. Am I allowed to?
Yes, of course you can.
It's the NFU Mutual, the local one for here, Ashford, Tenterden and Westfield branch, who are chipping in and being the lead sponsors. That's proved really good. They're great guys to work with.
Yeah.
They're keen on promoting it. They're keen on the events. They get excited about it. So that's good news.
That's excellent. Yeah.
And then ticket sales at the back end.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So a big shout out for the National Farmers Union Insurance Services for Tenterden area for sponsoring the Rye Arts Festival. We do rely on organisations to help community things, to make them work and run, and so a big shout out for them.
Yeah, and all the smaller businesses as well, because it all adds up, and there's a small shop that can give a few hundred quid is as much as anyone exactly. with a big budget, so it's great, all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the kind of things that are happening, the kind of things that are going on. And tell me when it starts again. Is it 10th of September?
Yeah, Friday the 10th of September.
Friday the 10th
to the 26th of September.
With right. Giles being the opening
is he?
Act.
Yes. Oh, right, OK.
I'm just looking at some of the eateries. So there's you've got Webb's in Rye.
He was very charming to Jules when he was here. Yeah.
Yes, he was. Yeah. You've got Webb's in Rye, which is a modern fish restaurant. I fancy this, Paul Andrews, with a vibrant open-plan kitchen and a function suite seating 60 and a purpose-built cookery school all under the one roof. So they're open for lunch and dinner. So they'll be... hopefully reaping the benefits.
I don't think they're there anymore, but the Ambrette used to have a restaurant in Rye as well.
Yeah, it's sort of...
Did they? Because I knew they were Margate.
Yeah, they've renamed it. I'm trying to remember what the latest name is in there. But yeah, they used to have a one there.
Which yeah.
So, but Dev is still there, is he? But with another name, you think?
Well,
I'm not sure. I think they're going. The reason I raise that is because I go to the George quite often.
Mm. Which...
And the Ambrette was opposite it. I own a business in Canterbury, and we have an Ambrette next door.
Yeah, that's a beautiful building, isn't it? Exactly. The Canterbury one.
Yeah.
Very nice. That's where one of my colleagues fell off the chair there, Dr. John.
Was he out with you drinking by any chance?
No, but you know they have sort of pre-loved chairs, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And Dr. John's fairly rotund, and he was out for lunch. This is my co-presenter on the food show.
Not
I do.
Not the Scott New Gold. Orleans musician. Sadly.
No.
Who used to follow Rye Arts Festival on Twitter?
Did he?
Yeah,
Dr. John, that Dr.
Really
John.
Yeah.
My Dr. John is a doctor and an anaesthetist, but he fell off the chair. And, of course, they gave him a bottle of wine to make up, and I don't think he needed another one. But
I thought that was what caused him to fall off the chair. Okay.
Other chairs are available at the Ambrette.
So I want to focus for the last few minutes, if I may, Andy, on the organisation and how you pull this together and what happens and who does what. So how many people are involved in the staging of the organisation? You mentioned that the Rye Arts Festival is a charity, so presumably you're all members of the charity. So how many people are involved in the organisation?
Well, once you put all the volunteers in, I would think it's probably about 30 people.
Right.
You've got... five trustees at the top of you, the charitable things, then there's an organising committee of about 10 people who actually do all the work in terms of booking the acts, taking care of them, managing the website, the box office, this kind of thing. And then there are the volunteers who are stewards who this year will be more important than ever because of the COVID thing. And they're all going to have face masks, which are branded
branded.
I think these things used to be called career wear, where you had branded stuff, but anyway, they do wonders and hopefully won't be needed that much, but you need people there and then the box office staff, there's people have to be either physically in there or on the end of the phone.
Sure.
But so probably about 30. I haven't done an exact add up.
Okay. And when did you start the planning for this year's event?
Well, part of it is would have been 2 years ago. Some of the acts were going to be appearing last year,
right? Okay.
So there is a question, a repeat there, but others weren't able to, other commitments and whatever, so we had to do it to get other people in. So I'd say big time working on it. It's really just before Christmas is when it all starts kicking in.
So it's a good 7 or 8 months that you spend organising it.
Yeah, and some people more than that. I mean, once it ends in September, I mean, people start sending out feelers for, like, literary talks, who's around, who's touring, musicians. So it is an all-year-round effort, but it just grinds up. It gets really busy ahead of the production of the brochure in the spring, where everything's got to be finalised to do that. And then, of course, now, when it's just around the corner, and everything has to be done now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, it sounds like a fantastic 16 days of entertainment and interest. I can imagine, you know, people kind of wandering around the town, looking at all the things and participating.
Eating and drinking.
I've got a big thing about eating and drinking.
Yeah, there'll be nice cider, I would think, there. Kentish cider, I'm sure, and beers, lovely ales.
Yes, there's some great pubs.
Yeah.
And some new pubs, which are well looking.
Yeah.
Right. So, Andy, give us a shout-out again for how people can find out what's on and book their tickets.
Well, you can go to the website, which is royalartsfestival.org.uk. Just put it in Google and put in Rye Arts Festival, you'll find it. Twitter, we're at Rye Arts. Facebook, Instagram, all those usual things. And also phone. You can ring up the old-fashioned phone, which is 01797 462168. That gets you to the box office. And the box office itself opens on Wednesday from... what time is it? It's 10 to 12.30, 2.5 hours, at the St Mary's Centre, which is right up next to the Kino in the middle of town.
Fantastic. So lots of ways to find out about what's on, book your tickets and get along there and enjoy the town of Rye, which is a place that is very enjoyable to visit at any time,
yes.
But during the Arts Festival especially, because there's so many other things to do and see.
It looks amazing. I'm looking at you've heard me rustling through the pamphlet here. It's not a pamphlet. What do
it's
you call
a book,
it?
Isn't
program,
it?
Isn't it?
It's a tone, isn't it? It's quite a chunky tone,
isn't
it?
It is extremely professionally done.
Yeah.
And it also says that tickets can also be purchased in person only from Grammar School Records, which is in the High Street of Rye, if you're local. And that's weekdays from 10 to 5.30. So there's another place you can go. But looking at it, there's just so much. So it's just very exciting. Some lovely arty people on, and also some young funky people, and opera as well. The Ecological Gardener, I like the sound of him, Matt Rees-Warren. There you go, we need that.
Yes. What's he doing?
Well, he's going to give you the tools to create an abundant, healthy garden.
Abundant.
From the soil up, one that welcomes birds and bees and allows native planting and wildflowers to flourish with minimal carbon impact or need for fresh water.
I went out in my garden on Sunday. No, Monday, yesterday. No, I went out and I did a bit of weeding, which I don't normally do. And I immediately poked myself in the eye with one of those sharp palm things.
That's not
right
good.
There.
Yeah,
right
that's
there.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it hurt.
Yeah, it's because you're not really used to weeding and things, are you?
No.
Apparently there's a no-digging thing now, isn't there? This new way of not, you know, all that years yes. when you used to dig and dig.
I mean, no-digging.
Well, the new thing is you don't dig, isn't it?
What do you do now,
Andy?
You just leave it, and then you make drills or whatever, you plant in it, you just leave it.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
See? I'm a bit upset.
See, I've got a wild garden.
He's got a lovely big garden and a big pond.
A naturally wild garden.
Naturally wild garden.
It's lovely.
Which means I don't look after it.
But that's great for all the animals.
Apart from the
squirrels.
Mexican squirrels, they're a nuisance.
He has got bad squirrels.
Grey or red?
They're grey, yeah, and they wear little sombreros. There's a whole backstory to this, and I won't bore you.
You'll have to listen to all the other shows.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it.
It's been going on for years.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm very lucky. I have a very nice garden.
It's a beautiful garden.
And I have a little bluebell wood as well, so around my lake.
Well, I'm very upset with my new husband because of my AstraZeneca vaccine, I've been trying to heal myself with dandelion leaves. As we know, they're very, very nutritious, nettles and dandelion leaves, and, you know, making little smoothies. And I'd found a dandelion growing in my garden, and it was a big thing. It was great. And my new husband, who's never weeded in 30 years ever, pulled it up. All that thing. And of course, when you're out foraging, it's very difficult because, you know, dog wee and all that, you've got to be really careful where you get them from. So dandelion leaves, you know, to be very coveted.
Well, and dig it up. I mean, they've probably not got all of it out, so it'll come back in.
But I hope so.
But the root, you can roast, grind it up, and you have it as coffee.
I know. It's a bit like chicory, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or is it chicory? No, it can't be. But it's a very similar thing.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. And nettles are an amazing, amazing thing.
Well, I've got all of that wild. Andy, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We wish you continued success, especially with this year's Rye Arts Festival. I will be visiting, and I'm sure she probably will as well, even if it's just for the dandelion tea.
You're all welcome.
We will be there. I'm a frequent visitor to the beautiful town of Rye in any case, and it is a very lovely place. Thank you so much. We've got the website and other links on the Business Bunker Radio website, and they will stay there well, forever, actually, but certainly all the way through the event this year, so that if you want to remind yourself of how to find tickets and what's on, you can go there to have a look. For the moment, Andy, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show.
Thank you for having me.
Mr. Andy Stewart of the Wright Arts Festival.
And he knows stuff about gardening too.
And he knows the stuff. He knows about mortgages as well.
Yeah. Oh, everything. Yeah. Multitask.
He knows a lot about.
What might you be?
Things.
Are you a Leo?
Capricorn.
A Capricorn. So it's January. Yeah. My youngest is a Capricorn, actually. Very dependable, I think, what? Capricorns.
Like Richard Nixon.
Yeah. Well, maybe not then. Yeah. Maybe he was on a cusp.
But Elvis.
Was Elvis a Capricorn?
Yeah, David Bowie.
Ah, Bowie. So geniuses we're talking.
We have a big connection with David Bowie on this on this radio station. I've just got a tweet from Tracy Ferguson. She says, I've only been to Rye a couple of times. It's a beautiful place and one I'd like to explore more. So it's great to hear about some of the venues and upcoming activities. Mike and I have a week off together, so we will be planning a trip and we will definitely be going there. So thanks to Andy at Rye Arts, she says.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We got one customer at least.
Thank you. That's brilliant.
And she says, hopefully the sun will shine on you too. So that's very nice. I'm just trying to catch up with all the tweets that have come in while we were talking to you, Andy.
Sainsbury's is proposing to open a huge distribution centre on a new £24 million in pound industrial park. The supermarket chain has submitted plans to erect signage on the side of one of the new buildings at the M2 CityLink development on the Medway City estate near Rochester. So quite a lot of
Everybody got excited about that. When IKEA announced they were going to open somewhere in Kent, everyone went, we're going to get an IKEA store.
Just for the meatballs.
But you're not.
Oh, what are you getting then?
It's just a distribution centre and there's no store.
Why? IKEA has confirmed it will be moving to Kent. The Swedish chain is taking up a site at the former Littlebrook Power Station redevelopment in Dartford. The plans for the site near the Dartford crossing and the M25 will be a distribution centre, as Paul Andrews has pointed out. The home furnishings giants will be moving into the 450,000 square foot warehouse on the powerhouse redevelopment. So it's kind of a shame, isn't it, that you can't. Because where is our nearest IKEA?
Croydon.
Oh, it's far too far to go. Yeah.
But for 2,000 meatballs, it's worth it.
the meatballs are very good. Haven't we got one in Essex? What's it called in Essex? The
I don't know. Who goes to Essex? No one. Well, no one in their right mind goes to Essex.
I was born there. He's just being bitchy. I was born there. But through the Dartford Tunnel, the traffic.
Oh. Are you allowed through the Dartford Tunnel?
Oh, yeah, I can, yeah.
I thought now we'd left the European Union, we couldn't go over there.
I don't know. But the traffic, whenever I go that way, is just mad. And I can see Essex from my house. Yeah. I can literally, my father-in-law lives in Westcliff-on-Sea. I can see his block from my house. Wow. But I have to go all the way through the Dartford Tunnel to visit him.
Can't you get a rowing boat or something to go across the bay?
Well, I have got a little jet ski. It's not mine, but it's my son's and my new husband's, so I could go on that, I suppose, if the tide's right.
Oh, I would.
We need a ferry, don't we?
Yeah. Right, it's that time when I'm going to do the uninterrupted Federation of Small Business News.
I'll purse my lips.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Good Food Growth Kent. Virtual Meet the Buyers on 9th of September. There are a few spaces left for buyers looking to grow their local food and drink supply chain. As the interest in local food, traceability and provenance continues and consumers continue to redefine their relationship with food and drink, this is your opportunity to meet suppliers from across the southeast. If you want to find out more about this or book a place on it, it's run in conjunction with the FSB and produced in Kent. And you can drop an email to Jill Sargent at producedinkent.co.uk. That's Jill with a J, dot Sargent, S-A-R-G-E-N-T, Jill.Sargent at producedinkent.co.uk. Meet the buyers, 9th of September. There's a very interesting webinar, The End of Furlough, and it's taking place on Monday the 13th of September, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. On 30th of September, the furlough scheme will come to an end, meaning that business owners will be faced with decisions about how to remodel their businesses in response to new or changed operating practices. This webinar will focus on the practical legal aspects for business owners of bringing back staff fully back into the workplace and making any changes needed to adapt to the new normal and different ways of working, as well as advice on dealing with the well-being and emotional side of making changes. I'm going to give you a number of these events, and at the end of that I will tell you how to find more details and to book your place. Building a diverse and inclusive business through effective communication. This is a four-day event taking place on Thursday the 2nd and 16th of September, then on Thursday the 7th and 21st of October at the Coachworks, which is a community co-working space in Dover Place, Ashford. The FSB Kent is delighted to be supporting this four-part training course. So that starts on the 2nd of September, which is this Thursday. Get started with analytics with the FSB in conjunction with Google Digital Garage. That's taking place on Tuesday the 7th of September from 11 a.m. till noon. We're pleased to be partnering with Google Digital Garage to provide a free live webinar training. The Google Digital Garage provides free online and live webinar digital skills training to individuals and businesses in the UK to help people find a job, grow their skills, grow their career or businesses from home. There's a Maximise Your Membership event on Thursday the 9th of September, 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. This Maximise Your Membership session is free online event open to all new joiners to the FSB as well as existing members who want to refresh their memories regarding the available benefits of membership. Also on Thursday the 9th of September is Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. with an optional after party. Well, there you go. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. The event is hosted by Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings. Tomorrow, manana, Wednesday, the 1st of September, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. is Creating a High Performance Team. This webinar explores the definition of a high performing team and the practical steps you can take as a leader or business owner to transition your existing team into a high performing team. That's tomorrow, Wednesday, the 1st of September. And then, would you like to launch on Amazon and don't know where to start? Wednesday the 8th of September, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m, whether about to start selling on Amazon or planning for a future growth, Amazon remains one of the quickest routes to market for any small business. This webinar will give you the tools to prepare your business for selling on Amazon and what to expect in order to grow profitably on the platform. Also on Thursday the 9th of September is a busy day. Property and construction event, getting two types of funding. This is taking place from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Peter Searle is hosting a four-part series of events on behalf of the Kent and Medway FSB entitled How to Get On in the Property Sector. At this event, we will focus on securing two types of funding. Alex Millam from ASC will discuss what investors are looking for in a project funding application, and Robert Edge from iConstruct will advise on grant funding for development, contractors and subcontractors. On Thursday the 30th of September, there's Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking again. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive breakout rooms. There's also Maidstone Virtual Networking on Wednesday the 22nd of September, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Peter Searle is hosting this free FSB Connect online event in association with Metro Bank. These events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners and everyone is welcome. Now, all of those events, you can find more detail and you can book your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. And then I need to tell you about the Kent and Medway Apprentice Graduation Ceremony 2021. This year, the Kent and Medway FSB will be supporting the Kent and Medway Apprentice Graduation Ceremony. This will be a virtual event held on Friday, the 8th of October, and is set to be a memorable event recognising the valuable role apprentices play in the workplace. If you're an apprentice, employer or know an apprentice that you feel deserves recognition, please do feel free to nominate them. You can find out all about the event and the nomination and the registrations and everything else by going to www.appgradkandm.org. That's appgradkandm.org. And that is the Federation of Small Business News Roundup for this week.
Very well said, Paul Andrews, without interruptions.
Thank you.
There's a new venue which is dedicated to live music. Gosh, do you remember how many years ago I did the PR for the Penny Theatre?
Yeah, yeah.
In Canterbury. It was lovely. And it's now sort of a student pub. I love live music. So it's launched and it's billed as the only one of its kind on Sheppey. It's called the Conspiracy Room and it's taking over part of Tantra Nightclub in Beach Street, Sheerness, and will host its first gig this weekend. Friends Sam Gage from Sheerness and Thomas Holland, who runs Tantra and the nearby Goat Pub, are behind the new venue, which has a capacity of around 350 people. It will showcase the best of the country's tribute rock bands, starting with a Foo Fighters act from Southend. It's called the Foo Fighters UK. So see what they did.
See what they did there.
Very good. So well done. Yeah, we do love a live venue.
Yeah, I once saw a band called Rolling Bones as well. You can imagine that. And talking of which, we've lost poor old Charlie Watts.
Yeah, yeah. He was apparently had one wife, which is quite unusual for the Rolling Stones, isn't it?
Just the one.
Yeah. It's rather lovely, I thought.
No, I won't go there.
A little-known leisure centre is offering 10-pin bowling, crazy golf and laser tag. And it's to relaunch Manana under new management. And it's the tucked away on the Windcheap Industrial Estate, where I often queue in traffic when I leave here, Paul Andrews, if I'm trying to go to the Good Shed to get my crabs.
Yeah.
Was previously known as Play Islands. And it was forced to shut at the start of the pandemic. It's now been rebranded as Canterbury Leisure and will open again to visitors tomorrow. Those taking over the running of the Simmons Road site are trying to build the public profile of the business. The bowling alley boasts four lanes, while the indoor golf course is glow in the dark and has nine holes.
Wow, there you go.
There you go.
Tracy Ferguson has tweeted, she said, yes, there is an IKEA in Essex, it's at Lakeside.
Told you there was.
Yeah.
I once had to go there for my Apple phone. They told me to go there rather than Bluewater. I got completely lost. It's massive, Lakeside. Mm. Huge.
Yeah. And, of course, you have to go to Essex.
Yes. Yes.
I did have another tweet, and I can't find it now. Have you got something to read while I was...
Yeah.
Oh, no, I found it. I found it. It's from the fantastic Zoe Cairns. She says, we're super excited to bring you Content Planning Live on the 19th and 20th of October. You can find out more by going to contentplanninglive2021.eventbrite.co.uk. There you go.
An area of Kent has gained £1 million property market since the pandemic hit. One boss at a Tunbridge Wells estate agent said she had seen buyers offering 10% over the asking price for homes in the borough.
Oh, we're back to gazumping, aren't we?
Yeah. Apparently, they're even gazumping rentals.
Yeah.
I saw.
Yeah.
I'm just going next week. I'm inspecting some rentals that I manage, and I'm meeting the tenant for the first time, actually, and he sounds lovely. Mm. So they're 10% over the asking price they're offering in the borough before the stamp duty holiday ended. It's now ended, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The data from the estate agency Knight, Frank, and do you see what I did there? Frank,
that well-known
Knight
estate
Frank,
agency.
And the land registry found that the TN3 postcode within Tunbridge Wells was one of the 19 new areas where more than 20% of sales were of homes costing 1 million or more than 6 months since the pandemic began. 1 million or more, it should read. But then if you've got a house in London and you've been working from home and you want a bit more space, 1 million probably isn't that, you know, it's kind of normal.
You can sell your dog kennel in London
exactly,
for that, can't you?
Exactly. Yeah.
We had a thing a couple of weeks ago that Rochester was the fastest growing area as well.
Well, it's nice because it's by the river as well, isn't it? Tracy's out there, isn't she?
Yeah, and it's so close to London still.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big deal, isn't it? That people are moving out of London in droves.
Yeah.
cashing in on you know the value of their property while it still has value, and buying places down here. And again, that comes back to what I was saying about HS1. You know, we've seen a massive rise in property prices right across planet Thanet.
I mean, I find from Whitstable to get into London is still, I mean, they still chuck you off at Faversham onto a bus on a Tuesday night regularly. So if you go up to London on Tuesday, they've been doing that for years.
Yeah, but wouldn't you be better off just driving to Canterbury and getting a high-speed train?
Maybe, but then you've got to pay for parking.
Oh, you tightwad.
Yeah, well, much is parking in Canterbury?
Yeah, well, it's £18 a day, but you've also got, of course, the cost of the high-speed rail ticket as well, which is about £60, isn't it?
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, I don't know what it is from Canterbury. It's £54 from Ashford.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I do find from Whitstable it's quite slow, but doesn't seem to. I mean, most people drive from London into Whitstable, and our roads are really, really congested now.
Yeah. Here's a quick update on the South East Construction Expo. It will be live at the South England Event Centre at Ardingly on the 21st of October. But because we have the technology, we're also going to be live streaming the event. If you're exhibiting, you will, in addition to your physical stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth, totally free, so loads more construction businesses can see your products and services. If you're a visitor, you'll have fantastic networking opportunities with both live at the expo and by visiting our virtual networking room. This is where you can connect to both virtual and live attendees. The speaker sessions will be streamed live. If you're attending or virtually attending and miss any of the speakers, live recordings will also be available. The South East Construction Expo is where you find out about major projects and investment opportunities, hear from industry-focused speakers sharing high-value content. There's a free Meet the Buyer with top UK construction companies, live demos of great new innovative products, how to profit from the many new ways of modern construction, and meet thousands of construction businesses for some great networking. It can all be found by going to the website, which is constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk.
And down for the count to open this year's Leeds Castle concert with a swing. Down for the Count Orchestra will be bringing their electrifying show full of incredible energy and musicianship to the Leeds Castle concert on Saturday the 4th of September. So it's this Saturday.
It is.
Every year the Leeds Castle concert grows both in popularity and in the diversity of its musical programme, and this year they say there's no exception. Down for the Count will be recreating music from the swing era to warm up the audience, making the start of the concert incredibly uplifting and setting the scene for much more to come. So how are you at swing? You're all right. You're good at jiving, aren't you, Paul Andrews? So you could swing with your knees. Returning to the stage are the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
She does this to me all the time.
He can't resist, can he? Look,
she does this to me all the time. I once won a jive competition.
In 1066.
Hold on, when I was 18. Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, which was a long time ago, and I was a somewhat skinnier then.
I reckon he could still throw some shapes.
If you've got it, you can never lose.
Exactly. Yeah. As long as his knees hold up, that's the thing, you know. Yeah. Or he doesn't twist an ankle.
Hand jive, maybe?
Yeah, a little hand jive.
I could do that.
I quite like jitterbug. I've always wanted a jitterbug. I think it's amazing.
What's that other thing that they've been doing?
Lindy Hop,
that's him. Yeah.
Can you do that?
No.
You could learn, though.
Could I?
You're a Leo, never too young.
No. Well, my Amanda teaches, what's name?
Zumba.
No.
Well, what's the name then?
You know, dancing. What are you going to call it?
Oh, yeah. You've told me before, the Latin thing.
Yeah.
Tango,
yeah.
Salsa.
Salsa.
Yeah.
And she's a salsa dancer.
So are you now?
No.
Proficient in it.
No, well, when we were first courting, I was trying to be all good, you know, and she went, oh, we're going salsa. I went, yeah, I'll come. And she started to teach me. I was rubbish.
It's quite, I once held a surprise salsa party for my new husband, and we had a teacher, and he didn't know. And we took him out and then, brought him back, and there was a whole party there with this salsa teacher, and it was really good, and I did all salsa food and everything.
Yeah,
you've got to watch what you do, and you're teetotal, it's all right for you, but I found the more I drank, the better I thought I was.
that counts for most things, I think, doesn't it?
It's a bit like when I'm trying to learn a language, you know, you suddenly get very good after a few glasses of wine, don't you?
Yes.
Handy. But I remember, salsa's nice.
Yeah, it was. And
you should keep doing it.
No. We, for the last 18 months, you couldn't do anything.
You could do it outside.
Yeah, no, but we were going to salsa events on a reasonably regular basis, and Amanda's got a whole crew of friends that are all involved in salsa.
Mm.
So I did try to learn. I did a couple of lessons, but I was rubbish.
Yeah, but practice makes perfect, doesn't it, Andy?
Yeah, you could try. Used to have Ciroc weekends.
Oh, Ciroc is amazing.
Yeah. Camber Sands at Pontins.
Yeah. Okay.
Long weekenders.
Yeah. Camber Sands, the Pontins has quite a lot, because as a child in the 70s, I used to go to Pontins with my parents. And I think we went to Camber Sands from Essex. But I did go to a, they have a lot of those, 70s things, don't they, that go on there. Has it all been revamped now, Pontins? Or is it still sort of put 20p in an electric meter?
Well, I haven't been in there.
Oh.
I'm not sure how you do get in there unless you're going on holiday. So
yeah,
I think
they've been revamped a bit.
I think all those holiday villages are now holiday. They're not holiday camps anymore. They're holiday villages,
yes.
And I think they're quite different now.
My first crush, I think I was 11. I've still got the photo. Was with a blue coat, and I've still got his autograph photo of me and him. And he's in his blue coat, and he's got the white trousers, and he's got the typical pose. He's got one leg on a chair with his hand on his thing. It's a very 70s pose, and I was his holiday princess.
Well, talking about that, there's a picture of Linda Reagan on our wall, and Linda was the love interest in Heidi High.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's there with Brian Murphy.
That's her husband, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And David Barry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
New images of a first look at reworked plans for a cinema in the heart of Tenterton. The team behind the project has revealed its ambitions for a screen and culture centre in the town centre and have now earmarked a potential site for their plan. Prospects for any cinema seemed dim after the original £2.6 million proposal in the Pebbles building was derailed amid spiralling costs and coronavirus uncertainty. However, the Tenterton Cinema Limited says it's approached the Highbury Hall Trust over the use of the land on which the hall is situated between Tesco's and High Street. And Tom Evans, chairman of the company, says it's hoped that the Trust will be willing to discuss the land ahead of the Youth Hub's potential move to Tenterton Recreation Ground. So we could, at some point, get a cinema, which would be lovely.
Yes, it would.
But guess what?
Is it that time already?
It's that time. We've reached the end of another show.
Time for me to take my thyroid tablet then.
Oh, blimey.
At 3 p.m.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I want to say a massive thank you to this week's guests, the lovely Jess. I thought you wanted to do it.
Well, I've got to get it
it's
up.
It's Jess Bartendale. Sorry, you made a big fuss about doing it earlier. So
But I'm on another tweet now.
Yeah.
I just remember the Dale bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you put me right on it then, didn't you?
Yeah, sorry. So I want to say a huge thank you to the lovely Jess Bartendale of Social Enterprise Kent with a fantastic interview about the work they're doing helping people into employment. An absolute pleasure to meet and hear from Mr. Andy Stewart of the Right Arts Festival, and we are so looking forward to the festival, and I think we're all going to go along at some point.
10th to the 26th.
Yeah, 10th to the 26th.
Rightartsfestival.org.uk.
That's it. Andy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's
an absolute pleasure. And we wish you much success with this event.
Did he say it's been an experience?
He did say that, and I kind of glossed over it.
In a wry way.
Yeah, in a wry way, yeah. Oh, you had to get one of those in, didn't
And
we?
Our sponsor, of course.
And to our fantastic sponsors, lovely folks at Lock Associates, thank you so much. We'll be back with another show next week. I've got the Business Bunker Extra show on Thursday, where this week I'm talking to Dougie Lawson.
Oh, I love Dougie.
Turkey Mill.
Yeah, I might have to come in if I know Dougie's on.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So we're going to be talking about the evolution of a paper mill into a business park and their ramifications on office space in the southeast of England following all the massive changes that have happened in our society over the last couple of years.
Just to listen to a show with ramifications in it is worth it, isn't
it's
it?
Worth it, just having ramifications.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So if you want some ramifications, 1 o'clock on Thursday. Otherwise, have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.